Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption Higher Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shuler, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we have joined together again for Sunday's message, the proclamation of a real fast. The proclamation of a real fast. It was a message that we had previously recorded. And, of course, we wanted to share that message with you all, the very powerful message that the Lord wants us to understand what a true fast is. And we want to go through those scriptures, praise God. We may not be able to pull up that previous message. However, we want to go forth live and bring forth that message. Because the scripture says this is the fast that he has chosen. And in that fast, there are some things that many of us sometimes we overlook in a fast, in a true fast. So we want to talk about that today. And thank you all for tuning in to the broadcast again. But before we go into the word of the Lord, let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for another glorious opportunity to be alive. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us life today, life anew, to allow us to wake up with our right minds, to be with our loved ones, to have health and strength, God, to walk in the wisdom of your word, to come before your presence with thanksgiving, worship, and praise, to honor you for the wonderful things you've done in our lives. As we look unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we say thank you, God, for this glorious day. We pray that you will bless all of those that have an ear to hear what your spirit is saying to us today through your word, God. Minister to our hearts, minister to our minds, and let us be able to comprehend the depth, the height, Lord, the width of your love that you want us to share with one another, that you want us to have in our hearts, to be more like Christ and extending ourselves to others. So we bless you today, God, and we pray for those that need healing on the broadcast, that you would touch their bodies wherever they feel afflicted, God, that you would just bless them and give them what they need, Lord, and enlighten their understanding of your word. So we say thank you today, God, as we go forth in your word, Lord. Our eyes of understanding will come open to the real Jesus, to, Lord, the reason you sent him into the earth, the purpose of redemption, God, and all that you have done in our lives. May we forever be grateful unto you, Jesus. So we just say thank you. Magnify you in the highest today, God, that you will be most glorified, that you will, Lord God, get the praise and be the honor, Lord God, of your word in our lives, that we will look unto you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Lord, today we just lift you up, and as we go forth in your word, give us what we need to say today, God. Anoint us afresh, that your word will just come alive inside of us, God. Your light of countenance will be pleased with what we do. We say thank you and honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you all for tuning into the broadcast. We really had brought forth a powerful message, of course, again, on the proclamation of a real fast, a true fast, and God wants us to understand what that is. And I wanted to share that previous episode, but nevertheless, I'm able to bring forth that message again because the same anointing that gave that message before is the same anointing that would bring it forth again today for you and I to hear. So let's look in the book of Isaiah. If you can turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. And we want to just begin, since we have time on the broadcast, and we're going to be talking specifically about fasting. We want to begin at the first verse, and then we'll just work our way on down to the key scriptures that God wants to give us. So Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Basically here, as we're going to do some commentary as we're reading scripture, as the Holy Spirit lead us to, explain what each one of these scriptures is saying. And right here in this first verse, the prophet Isaiah is instructed to cry aloud, spare not, and lift up his voice like a trumpet, and show the house of Jacob their sins, their transgressions. And basically it's telling him not to hold back. Don't hold back from what God wants the house of Jacob to hear, because God is getting ready to speak. As we say so often, as we read scripture, we want to be able to feel and sense the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. What is God saying and who he is in these scriptures? So we know that anytime we read scripture, we want to get an understanding of the historical context and the audience of who God is talking to through the prophets. And we want to be able to understand the spiritual significance of it as it relates to our lives, as it applies to our lives today. Because scriptures are always relevant in our lives today. It's applicable. And so we have to understand that. And so we go to the second verse that says, yet they seek me daily. The prophet is saying, hey, yet they seek me daily. So the instructions is for Jacob, the house of Jacob, to be aware of their sins. And God wants the prophet Isaiah to cry out and don't spare them, because scriptures is about the heart. When God speaks to us through his word, he's working something in our hearts for transformation. When God speaks to us through his word, he is trying for us to understand the heart, for us to examine, look at our hearts. He wants something to change that we're doing. So he's telling him, cry out, spare not, don't hold back. Verse 2 says, yet they seek me daily. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So he's proclaiming here how the house of Jacob delight to know God. And we just have to give it to the children of Israel. They wanted to know God. But a lot of times in our day and time, just like many people today, want to know God, but they want to know God on their own level. They want to know God in their own facet. They want to know God in a way that's comfortable for them. But then when God begins to cry out his word and what he really wants them to do and how he really wants their hearts to be changed, people shun away from that. Verse 3 says, wherefore have you fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and you do not take knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Okay, now the Lord is speaking within these scriptures, because now God is letting them know, okay, you fast for reasons that does not benefit the holiness of God. You're fasting for a reason that is profiting you nothing. See, one thing about fasting has great power in and of itself. When you talk about a fast, people afflict their souls as far as denying themselves to eat, denying themselves of the pleasure or luxury of certain things, you know, for amount of time and extended time, because fasting, of course, has a power and a source in and of itself to move, change things in the spiritual atmosphere. Even the powers and the dominions of darkness understand the power of fasting. Wickedness in high places understand the power of fasting. That's why one scripture relate in the New Testament where when they were looking for the Apostle Paul, his oppositions, they said that they will fast. They will stay on their fast until he's apprehended. They knew the power of fasting. So in fasting, there's some people that use it in the wrong way. And fasting can bring about a sense of pride, because some people feel when they fast that they're on this spiritual height. And don't get me wrong, of course, denying and sacrificing some things because you want to draw closer to the Lord, as we read in the scriptures here, how Israel wanted to draw closer to the Lord, it has its place. In these scriptures, we're going to see what God has deemed to be the true fast, the real fast. And so, again, verse 3 says, "Wherefore have you fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have you afflicted, we afflicted our souls, and you have not took knowledge?" Notice, "Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact your labors." Verse 4, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate." Now the prophet is proclaiming to them the reasons behind their fast. It's not a true fast. It's not a real fast. That's why the Bible says that people have a form of religion, but they deny the power. A form of religion, but deny the power, the real power. We're going to read what the real power is behind a fast. That's why in the New Testament, again, when he said, "Anoint your head with oil so it doesn't appear that you are fasting," because some people want others to know, "I've been on this long fast," because it will give you some spiritual significance, identity, that you're drawing closer to God. And it's an open acknowledgement for you. Like, you bring glory to yourself when you want others to know you've been on a fast. But again, verse 4 says, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate." See, God is now getting to the root and the bottom for the purpose of their fast. Strife and debate. Because, again, some people feel when they're fasting, they are very knowledgeable, and they feel empowered, and they feel strengthened. And they feel that others can't compare to their spirituality because they have not fasted as they have. But God gets down to the root of their fast right here. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fists of wickedness." There's a lot of religious things that people do, but their heart has not been transformed. Their heart has not been submitted to God and working out the real fast, the true fast that matters to God. Let's get down to it. We're going to get down to the real fast of God. So he's telling them, you smite for all these reasons. "You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high." And that is that debate. That is that strife. Verse 5 says, "It is such a fast that I have chosen." Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Okay, here now is God is asking them a question. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? He's asking the question. Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now God's going to break it down to him to let him know this is the real fast that I have chosen. To loose the bands. That sounds like power of prayer to me. Because the Bible says, of course, that some things only come by fasting and praying. Prayer and fasting will drive out the forces of wickedness, the forces of darkness. To, you know what? You're concerned with the things that concern God. And here you are interceding on the behalf of others, not just ourselves, because many times people fast just for themselves. They want to break through for that house, that car. They want to break through for some things to be broken. But we are to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that the yoke, every yoke, be broken, be destroyed. not just for ourselves. These scriptures are talking about other people. Hallelujah. Don't you know when we intercede, we are breaking and destroying yokes for other people. We are praying and mediating to God on their behalf. When you see the sorrow, the heartbreak, the destitution of people's lives and what they're suffering, the stronghold that Satan has bound them in, captivity of their mind, of pain, depression, anxiety, sorrow because of bereavement that they can't even get out of. Oh, we intercede on their behalf. We pray on their behalf that God will hear our plea and cry for them. That's a real fast that's coupled with prayer to get in there and touch God in the spirit to help your brother or sister that are suffering. So he's talking about, it's not just the real fast, but the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Verse 7 says, is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? Oh, bless the Lord. This is the real fast. Now, you want to go on a real fast? This is the proclamation of a real fast. To deal your bread to those that are hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. Oh, many would dare to do that. But this is the real fast, God says, that will destroy the yoke. Oh, it's your heart. So basically, as he's telling the house of Judah here, the other things that you do is not the real fast. It's not a true fast. This is the real fast. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Family. Family. From your own flesh. Those that are kin to you. That you don't hide yourself from your family. That you help your family. The spirit of selfishness have gone through families like wildfire. I don't know where that spirit has came from. The spirit of selfishness has gripped the hearts of people where they don't even want to help their own flesh, as scripture is telling you here. He's telling you here's the real fast. You will always remain and stay blessed when you fast, the kind of fast that God is talking about, the God kind of fast. I should have named the broadcast that. The God kind of fast is coupled with that in this proclamation of a real fast. Help your family. People feel some kind of way about their families. They see their families struggling or without or in a need. They won't help their families because they're trying to get on top. They want their family to see that you're not better than me. Those are all the wrong reasons. That shows that their hearts are not right. You don't know God. You don't know God. You have not released and surrendered yourself to Christ to understand the spirit of Christ in the earth, to work his way in our hearts as a Christian, as a believer. As a believer. And that's why on that great and noble day, when Christ returns, and people are going to say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Say, well, they're going to say, well, God, didn't I did this in your name. I prophesied in your name. I did this in your name. I went to church every Sunday. I paid my tithes. God's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. When I was hungry, you didn't give me any food. When I was thirsty, you gave me no water, nothing to drink. When I was in prison, you did not visit me. You didn't even pray for me. This is a very serious matter, people of God. Understanding what the real fast is, what the real mission here on earth as believers that God has entrusted to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message, the preaching of the gospel. And see, these things are foolishness to those that are perishing. People feel like, well, I've got mine in society. People should get theirs. I work hard for mine. They should work hard for theirs. Well, you have people that have mental disorders where they're not able to apprehend as you did in society. So therefore, they may need some help. So God said, if you want me to acknowledge your fast, Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see of the naked, that you clothe him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? He's asking a question here. Is it not this the real fast of God? If you just now tuning into the broadcast, we are in Isaiah chapter 58, finishing up on verse 7. I tell you, we could stay right there for the whole broadcast for people to really get it. You need to understand who God really is. And then you really need to understand that God loves the poor. The poor in spirit, the poor in society, because they're rich in faith. Have people believe God? So God is letting us know he's the real fast. See, the Bible said we have to come on one accord in the unity of the faith. That's why he's getting us ready as a bride. He's adorning us. I mean, we are putting on all of the beautiful apparel now of righteousness here on earth. God is getting us ready. He's purging and cleansing and sanctifying our hearts so that we can be ready on that great day for our groom, the bridegroom. We want to be able to be ready. Because only the pure in heart shall see God, and nothing but the righteous shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Understand that no unrighteousness shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's only the righteous. Those that have allowed him to impute his righteousness inside of their heart. So you want to go on a fast? You want to afflict your soul? Oh, he's given us the instructions what to do. That shows we have afflicted our souls. And when you give of your time, when you give of your bread, when you give of your monetary, when you give of yourselves, when you sacrifice yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto him. That's your reasonable service. That's your reasonable service. That is your fast. That is your real fast. When you pray for your brothers and sisters, when you don't gossip about your brothers and sisters because they are in a dire strait situation and a need. Because first of all, you have not finished living out your days to know what God will allow to come upon your life. You have to be very careful. And then your soul will have to stand before the Lord to give an account for the deeds that you have done, all of us. And the Bible says some men's deeds go before them and others follow. Meaning that God sees it all. And we reap what we sow and we will receive the reward for the good and the evil, whatever a person have done. You did good, you're going to receive the reward of good. You did evil, that's the reward you're going to see. And for some people, you may not get it now. Whether good or bad, you may not get it now. That's why it's following you. But you will get it. Because it's going to go before you when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It talks about going before you. You're paving the way. You're paving the way in the spirit of how the rest of your life will be. You're paving the way in the spirit of how the rest of your life is going to measure up when you stand before the Lord. Because he's judging us according to our heart. But when we receive his righteousness, that's what we are being judged for. He said in his word that he hath not judged us according to our iniquities, but according to our righteousness. Why? Because it's his righteousness that he has imputed upon us, and that we are working that righteousness in the earth. See, let me say this before we go to verse 8, because your light is going to break forth in verse 8. When we get to understand what the real fast is, so we're talking about the proclamation of a real fast. And when you get to understand what the real fast of God means, then your light is going to break forth. But before I go to verse 8, I want to say that when the Bible talks about Lazarus and the rich man, that rich man had all the possessions, had everything he wanted in life. I mean, he just had it going on. So when the poor man asked him for a need, and could you just help me with this, a bread, or, you know, the rich man had so much pride and arrogance, he couldn't see nowhere near to help him. He just couldn't do it. And the Bible says that when the rich man died and went to hell, and he wanted God to send Lazarus to just put his little index finger in the water and just put it on his tongue, just a little bit, because hell was so hot. But he couldn't see why he was on earth to extend his riches or whatever he had to the poor. There's so much need in the world. There's so much need. I mean, and it's a shame, and it's an abomination to God when the rich gives to the rich, and you do nothing in society to help those that are sick, to help those that are incapable of obtaining the education to help themselves and be successful. When you don't do that, and then when you leave this earth, you're going to find out the real meaning of life when you leave this earth. And sadly to say, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to see that he was a God that was so loving and so kind and so merciful to the poor, to those that submitted themselves to him. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31 talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Let's read it. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and lick his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment, and he lifted up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Talking about the forefather Abraham. Man of righteousness. Verse 24 says, so he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. Yes, yeah, so you receive it all now. You're getting it all now, all your rewards right now as this rich man, if your heart is compared just like his. He said you receive the good, your good thing, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted. He is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides this, between us and you, a great gulf has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So you can't even get it. From heaven to hell is a big separation. Verse 27 says, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. The rich man said, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone arises from the dead. So he had remorse. The rich man had remorse now that he was in torment. He was in hell. He had torment. Now, we get to verse 8 in Isaiah, because this is the proclamation of a real fast. Hallelujah. That God says, then shall your light break forth as the morning. When you do the real fast of God and you afflict your soul, that's why some people sell what they have and go out on missions. America has become so vain and filled with vanity that it's the I'm gonna get mine attitude. And that's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy, when he was telling the children of Israel, when you come into the promised land, open your hands wide. Hold back nothing. Open your hand wide and bless those that have a need and those that ask of you. Because it's not about storing up treasures here on earth for yourself. You got to meet the Lord one day. So if you proclaim the real fast, if you do the real fast from your heart towards God, then shall your light break forth as the morning and your health shall spring forth speedily. You want to be healthy and well? You want God to give you good longevity with good health? Well, let him see that your heart is turned towards him in denying yourself, afflicting yourself in the proper way of reaching out to help his people. Because when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. I live in a city where I see thousands of homeless people every day. Breaks my heart. And I give of myself everything that I can possibly give. That's why I don't ask for funds on the broadcast yet, because there's something about that. That's why, you know, I want to be like Paul, you know, because there's nothing wrong with pastors taking, you know, getting and receiving the funds from the congregation to sustain the church and themselves, their families. But there's a freedom and the liberty, because God has been sustaining this broadcast for 7 years. And we're doing quite well, I thank God. However, and whatever resources the Lord has given me beyond this broadcast out in the ministry, it just goes toward packing food, helping the poor, giving unto them to have water to cover their backs in this hot, scorching heat, providing for them Bibles, whatever we can do, materials. That's why people leave America and go to the third world countries where there's a real need, where there's a real need as well. And so you say here, your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. So your righteousness goes before you for God to make a way for you to be healthy, for you to have all your needs supplied. That's why he said, be content in whatever state you're in, because he takes little and makes much. Doesn't matter. He multiplies you. He multiplies you. You're satisfied because you know in the abundance and the riches of God's kingdom, he's going to keep adding to you. So your righteousness goes before you, your good works. It says the glory of the Lord shall be your rear reward. You got something coming. Your rear guard, he protects you. He makes sure that you're right, you're straight, you're taken care of. All of your needs are supplied according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, then shall you call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here am I. God is with you whenever you need him. If you do the right in the proper fast, in afflicting your soul, sacrificing yourself for someone else, your neighbor. Your neighbor has small children. Do something to help them. Your neighbor may need food. Your neighbor may be going through a hard time, lost their house in foreclosure, just got evicted, put out. This is the real fad. You have the poor, even helps the poor. I've seen the poor give to the poor. You want to see the glory of God? You can watch the poor give to the poor because they understand the spirit of God. When you cry, he says, I will answer. Here am I. If you will take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of fingers and speaking vanity, judging one another for what they don't have and how they look and what's going on in their life, gossiping, slandering people. You'll pay for these things. You'll pay for these things. Have to be very careful to walk before the Lord. See, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He sees and knows it all. We have to really understand the Spirit of Christ in the earth, working through us in the Holy Spirit. He said, put away that yoke from you of pointing the finger, speaking vanity. He said, and if you would draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and darkness be as the noonday. Oh, praise God. Your light will arise. The light of the Lord will shine upon you. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, hallelujah, and like a spring of water whose waters not fail. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places, and you shall rise up the foundation of many generations. And you should be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pledges on my holy day, the Lord says, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not by doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking of your own words. If you stop all those things, God says, verse 14, then shall you delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. See, and you go on down to verse, chapter 59, verse 1, the Lord begins to talk about, you know, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he would not hear you. Because it's the way you treat others, it's the way you think about others that have blocked God from hearing your prayers. His hands is not shortened that he can't save and deliver and bless you. But a lot of people looking at it and going about it the wrong way. Because the rich in God are blessed. You're blessed in the spirit. You have your peace. You have good health. If you go through some sickness, some infirmities, oh, we go through things. But God will restore you speedily. Your light will break forth. He still will restore you speedily. The righteous are unmovable. No calamity will come near you when you do the proper fast of the Lord in afflicting your soul, sacrificing yourself, and helping those around you. Because people matter to God. People matter to God. So some people feel like I don't have enough. Yes, you do. Because the Bible says if someone asks you to go a mile, go two. Share your bread. You have a loaf of bread, give half of it to them. It doesn't take much to do that. And your heart has to be right in when you do it, not to do it out of grudginess, to feel some kind of way after you have given. God wants to take all of that out of us, even down to the twinkling of your toes when you help someone. He knows what's in us. He want to get all of it out, not for us to be selfish, not for us to care about ourselves, our four no more, more than the world, than those that have a need, the true need. Start your mission. Start a mission right with your neighbors, children in the community, single mother need pampers. There's all type of ways you can help people. And we're not supposed to brag about what we do. Let our right hand know what our left hand does. But for the glory of God, we tell the testimony to share so that others can help. With myself having 8 children and having the heart of the real fast of God as much as possible, even though God is still puning us to give us a more humble heart to help others, we're still on that potter's wheel. I was able to establish 2 women's shelters with 8 children. In ministry and a business, trying to do all of that to help at least, I think it was about 40 or 50 women that came through the shelters. Just when you see a need, you just have to reach out. And God will take it further than what you can ever imagine. Because your heart understands. And not only do you feed them the natural food, you have the opportunity to feed them the spiritual food, to preach the gospel to them, to share the gospel, to pray with them so that their lives can be changed, that they can understand where their hope comes from. Because people that are in destitute situations, they give up easily if they don't have hope in Jesus Christ. But if they have hope in Jesus Christ, no matter what situations they're in, they are able to be sustained in their faith to know that God will make a way and see them through, and they don't have to give up hope. God will sustain them. That's why the poor are rich in faith. No matter what they have, they hold on to God. That's why they smile. They laugh. They keep moving, and you can't move them. The righteous are unmovable because now they know. The Bible says the poor you will have with you always. But in this proclamation of a real fast, we want God to get the glory out of this message to show people the real heart of God. When you think a fast means something that is going to benefit your pocket, when you think a fast is going to benefit something natural, material in your life, that's not a real fast. Even with your spirituality, the fast that he's talking about, yes, let it change your heart. If you're afflicting your soul and going on a fast to deny yourself with food, fine, good and well, but let it change your heart. That's the real fast that God is talking about here. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 to the end of that scripture. So God bless you. I pray the message have been encouraging to you, that we all have heard the word of the Lord and not harden our hearts. And until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.